We're going to actually start with our verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. And the verse that we're going to look at today is verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. It's sometimes important for us to be challenged with verses of Scripture that can and may become favorites to us, however you want to think of them. And this is one that the very principle of it was introduced to me in a way that I never forgot. Back probably in the 80s, and it was through a video series that we did here in the communities on the counterfeits, called the counterfeits. Ron Carlson was the guy doing it, and it was about those who believe the cults, some of the false religious types of people and what they believe. And one of the things that he talked about many times was that many believe in another Jesus. So verse 4 says, "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully." Let me make some comments about this and take us to a place that I believe it is very, very applicable into the world in which we live, within the church, the setting of the church and the culture in which we live today. Last week we talked about some problems in the church at Corinth, and that was personal problems, so to speak. Personality conflicts, differences among people, and there was a lot of disunity that existed within that church, and we did that in relationship to the Lord's Supper, and those of you who were here may remember some of that. Hopefully you remember some of that. Oftentimes we can have problems in the church because of personalities, because of people conflicting with one another, doing something, saying something, just agitating one another or whatever, and there can be problems. And we talked about that some last week. But there's another type of problem that is as much as serious as it is that, and maybe more so, although disunity is a big problem. And the other problem that I'm referring to that we will talk about today is the doctrinal problem that exists, that can exist within a church. In other words, believing the right things. And in particular, I want to get into this issue of what we believe about Jesus. When I talk about doctrinal issues, I can divide them, in my mind at least, into two groups. There is the non-core issues, in other words, issues that maybe we're not real sure about. Some of the peripheral things, maybe important things, but we don't have maybe clear understanding in this flesh and blood that we now live in. And oftentimes I would, in this phase or this topic, I would maybe refer to prophecy, how things are going to unfold in the future. We know there's a lot of things left to happen that's talked about in Scripture. And even though I have my thought process and my theology of that kind of lined out, as I get older, I'm not as staunch in putting that forth and saying this is the way it's going to be, because I see some lack of understanding, possibly in some areas. So we could come and we could, one could say one thing, you could say one thing, and I could, would think another way, and we might debate about it. We might have good, healthy discussion. But it's not going to make a lot of difference to me in relationship to our faith that's founded on the core issues. That's the second category of these doctrinal issues. The core belief system. I might argue and debate with you on the non-core issues, but I'm going to fight you on the core issues, on the core doctrines of our faith. Because these are the doctrines that revolve around God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and who they are, and particularly how they relate in relationship to salvation, the doctrine of salvation. I can give very little on these topics. And so within this verse, we have this question that kind of comes out of it. For if one comes to you, comes and preaches another Jesus, another spirit, receive that you need to receive another spirit, if you need to receive another gospel. And the way some of the versions at least say this at the end, that there was a, it says it in such a way as there's a condemnation to them for allowing this variation of Jesus, this variation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation, to be accepted within the church. In other words, they're too accepting in this particular area. You've been places where you might be told that you can believe anything you want, just come to our church and have a good time or whatever. I don't know what it is. And yeah, and that's true. I don't care what you believe as long as you're careful in how you portray that to others around you. But I will challenge you in the areas concerning Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Spirit, and salvation particularly. Even though there's much that I don't know, there's much that I do know in concern particularly to salvation and who Jesus Christ is. There is no another Jesus. There is one Jesus Christ. And the Bible is very clear on what it has to say about him. And it is very core. And yet, in the world in which we live, there are many thoughts and concerns about Jesus and who Jesus is. And I will fight you on this very important topic. What do we mean? Let's start with what Jesus said about who he is. And that was found, as we read this morning, in Matthew chapter 16. It's a great place to get the foundation. Jesus asked his disciples, Matthew 16, starting at verse 13, if you don't remember. Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? In other words, who do people say that I am? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? And I believe that that's one of the, I talk about the three important questions of life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? But this is at the center of those questions. Who is Jesus Christ? That's essential to know and to understand. Who is Jesus Christ? And And he's answered. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or another one of the prophets. Well, let's just keep this simple. In other words, there was diversity of opinion about who is Jesus Christ. In the day in which he lived, in the day in which he walked the earth, the day in which he performed his miracles, in the days that he did everything in perfection and ultimately went to the cross and died for our sins, there was a difference of opinion of who Jesus Christ is. People weren't sure. Some thought this, some thought that. But it's important for you to understand very specifically about who he is. It is one of the most fundamentally important questions of life. Who is Jesus? Who do people today say that Jesus Christ is? You know, that's another good question. It's important for you to answer that question, first of all, but how about the people that you encounter within your life? Who is Jesus Christ? He's a good man. You've probably heard that or read that in some writings, that is a reference to Jesus. Oh, he was a good man. He did a lot of good things. For some, it's that he never existed, that he's a hoax, he's a fairy tale. A little bit different, very negative. At least a good man is a positive thing. It's not right. I mean, he was, but there's so much more than the fact that he was a good man. One of the belief systems out there says that he is the spiritual brother of Satan. He is a creation of God, and that he is a spiritual brother of Satan. And that he's important in your salvation, but there's more to your salvation than just Jesus Christ. And the list can go on. In other words, there is confusion about who Jesus Christ is today, just as there was in the day that Jesus lived. But in this passage, Jesus turns to Peter and he asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Okay, the people out on the street, you know, you watch television shows and they have the people on the street asking questions, and the people on the street says, well, some think that he's maybe John the Baptist, or some think that he's maybe Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus didn't say it like this, but he could have said, "Bingo! That's it. You got it, Peter. That's exactly right." Jesus affirms what Peter says. Now, there's an interesting part to this affirmation of Peter that Jesus says here. He says to Peter, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." In other words, Peter could have went to this church and he could have heard yours truly preach about Jesus on this Sunday and who is Jesus, and he might have come up with this very answer that Christ affirmed. But it wouldn't have been because of what I said. It's not revealed to you through flesh and blood, but by the Father. An understanding of Jesus and who he is a spiritual thing. It doesn't come from flesh and blood. It comes from the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father ministering into the hearts of people to affirm this truth It comes from God. And Peter, in all of his idiosyncrasies, all of his passion and what he and being confused and being impulsive and being, this is where he hit it right on the head, the nail on the head, because he understood that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What you believe about Jesus is paramount. You can go to 1 John, and we're not going to take the time to do that this morning. But you could turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. When it talks about the Antichrist and confirming the spirit of Jesus Christ. This is what it says, that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one. Thou art the Christ. This is the one promised by God. This is the one clear back in Genesis 3:15 that God says that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of Satan while in the process having his heel bruised. First prophetic utterance of Jesus Christ dealing the fatal blow to Satan and the evil of Satan. Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, clear back from the very beginning of time. Inseparable from the Father. There is no distinction. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. This is where a lot of people have a lot of problems with Jesus. He is the eternal God come in flesh and blood. Well, how can there be God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? And we put them in descending order kind of like that, when in reality they're one and the same. Call me crazy, but I don't understand that completely. One day, that's one of the things, when I get to heaven and I will understand things, I'm going to have real joy in understanding that one. But that's what Scripture says. That's what the Bible says is true. Inseparable from the Father, He is the key to the Father. No man comes to the Father except by me. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, He existed in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus that is talking about. He is the creating force. Verse 3, without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1 talks about the supremacy of Christ, the exact representation of God the Father. That's Jesus Christ. And the creating force, everything that was made by Him. He is life. He is light. And 1 John 5, 11 and 12 says that He is the key to eternal life. This is the record that God has given that we might have life. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son, that's Jesus, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. See, Jesus is the key. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He came to earth to die on the cross for our sins. We got into a little bit of discussion this morning in adult Sunday school class about talking about the attributes of God and that He is a righteous God. That means that He just cannot turn His back on sin and say, oh, it's okay, and pat you on the back and say, oh, it's okay. I know that you're only human. He can't do that because He is just. Sin must be dealt with, and so that sin was dealt with in Jesus, the perfect Son of God, the perfect, eternal God, dying on the cross, taking our sin upon Himself, and we accepting that. And so justly the sin was paid for, your sin, because of what Christ did for you. The eternal God died on the cross in your place. That's who Jesus is. That's the significance of the question, who do you say that I am? And it's the same question that we can ask today. And this is a core issue, as I said, that I will not debate with you. I may fight with you on. If you have another Jesus, and as the Corinthian church seemed to be permissive about their doctrine, even on this core issue, probably not going to happen with me. As Jesus asked Peter, so he asked you today, who do you say that I am? It is probably the most important question you will ever answer in your life. Who do you believe Jesus is? And maybe, I don't know about you, but maybe you or people around you are struggling with this question. Who is Jesus? And have you, do you stop and you think about who he is? Because it's important for your salvation that you understand what has happened, what has transpired when you place your faith in Jesus. He is the eternal Son of God who became flesh and blood on earth to die in our place, so that we could have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. That way a just God could be righteous in condemning those who will not believe, and he can be righteous into giving eternal life to those who do. If you have not resolved that question correctly, may the Spirit of God confront you until you do. You know, sometimes I may stand up here and I may say, may the Spirit of God show you the love of God so that you will be drawn to Jesus Christ. When I was doing this, I thought of a different approach. You may not like this. I don't know. But I might pray for you. In fact, I will pray that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't accepted Him, that the Holy Spirit would make you so miserable that you might be pushed to Jesus Christ. You know, that's what happens to some people. They are so miserable in where they are at and what's going on in their life. And the obvious answer is Jesus. Bingo! That's the answer, Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if you will allow me to do that, I will pray that the Spirit of God might make you miserable until you confront, you're confronted with Jesus, and you submit to Jesus in your life to allow Him to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. There is no another Jesus. That's the lie of Satan. That is putting a big damper on churches today, that's confusing people, that's taking people in paths that will lead to destruction. There is one Jesus, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. All of Scripture from beginning to end points to Jesus and who he is and what he would do to save us from our sin. So Father, I just pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that has power over everyone here and everyone in our lives, that the influence of the Spirit would convict us of our sin and of our need of Jesus Christ. Father, make us miserable if that's what needs to take place, so that we might be pushed to Jesus Christ. We thank you and we pray this in his name. Amen.